Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Thursday, October 15th. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that has to say, I get fooled every time the Flyers say, we've signed someone, and I'm thinking, is it Phil Myers? Is it Nolan Patrick? No, it's another prospect that we just drafted, which is fine, but man, I cannot wait until Myers or Patrick's contracts come out. All right, so follow along to keep up with their contracts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. Tweet us any of your questions for our weekly mailbag, or let us know how you think the Flyers are doing so far and how their roster situation looks. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
And today's show, we are going to talk about some Flyers news. Like I said, another prospect was signed. We're going to go into a little prospect talk from Scott Wheeler. He wrote an article and featured some Flyers prospects. Then we're going to take a look at the roster and where the Flyers are at right now in free agency and see, you know, what kind of deals we might see in the future. And then, of course, we will wrap up with our Flyers fun thing. As always, Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. So, like I said, the Flyers signed their first-round draft pick of the 2020 draft, Tyson Forster, to an entry-level contract. It was good to see Tyson signed. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, especially because they signed Zade Wisdom so quickly, you know, who was in the fourth round this year, that it kind of looked weird that they hadn't signed their first round pick to an ELC first. And so to see it come so quickly on the heels of Zade Wisdom signing, it just seemed like a timing thing now that there wasn't any weird thing going on behind the scenes or anything. So, and it was good to see him get signed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you saw on Instagram, Zade put on his story that like all the stuff that the Flyers sent him, like I guess they get like quote unquote care packages with all the Flyers merch. So it was really fun to see them get that and then wear it in their pictures and stuff. So
I will have to take a look at that.
Yeah, it was really, they get a lot of stuff. I would not mind if that package came to my door. I'd probably save a lot of money.
Yeah, Flyers, I'm in the market for a new hat. So if you got one, send it my way.
So if you're an avid listener to the show, you remember Scott Wheeler. He came out with an article of his top 50 drafted NHL prospect rankings. And so we did see a few Flyers on the later half of that ranking. And the first in his list at 33 was Cam York, who previously was ranked 23rd overall. And you know, there wasn't anything too crazy as to why York dropped. It really was just the fact that, you know, a lot of new prospects came into the draft and like got signed. So he was pushed back a little bit. But I mean, Wheeler still has high hopes for him. And he just talked about how York really, he does so many things right as a defenseman, and it's not necessarily, you know, his offense that really sticks out. It's just that he really can do it everything defensively, offensively, which is one thing that I think we talked about, or we got more clarity about when we talked about Cam York in the episode like earlier this year. And, you know, it's quotes like this where, you know, Wheeler said that though he doesn't have a dynamic skating ability or physical maturity that other teams seem to covet in their top four, he's got all of the other offensive and defensive tools he needs to play a quick and smart game dictated on his own terms. And that just makes me so excited for Cam York. And I know that he's someone that we reference a lot in the next couple of years. We would not be surprised to see him with the Flyers, not just with the Phantoms. So it was good to see that, you know, out of all of our prospects, Scott's really high on Cam.
I think so, too. And considering all of the prospects in the Flyer system, the fact that Cam is ranked the highest out of any of them says a lot about, you know, confidence in Cam's ability and, you know, whatever happens in the next year or so, that he has a really high ceiling and a really good opportunity to be in that defensive pipeline coming up in the next couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like it also justifies the fact that we talk about how good the Flyers' defensive prospects are. And, you know, other people who have studied these prospects for years definitely agree. So next, I was a little bit surprised to see on the list, but still proud. Morgan Frost was at 35, and he was previously ranked at 28. And Wheeler said on Morgan that as the game has changed, it's been players like Frost who have benefited the most from this direction. He's the type of player who can excel now that they probably wouldn't before. Whether the ones that their best asset is their ability to process the game quickly rather than those who can really wow you with specific skill. And I thought that was a really interesting way to, you know, talk about like one of the most, in my opinion, dynamic parts of Frost's game is the fact that he really dictates how he wants to play. It's not necessarily like a speed game or it's just all goal scoring. Like, he really slows the game down and plays the tempo he wants to play at any different point. And I think that's something that you can really see in a lot of the videos that we've watched of Frost throughout the years, where, you know, there's times you see him like using his speed, there's times you see him slow it down. With Frost, I really just feel like it's his playmaking ability and just that he's really able to use that even at certain points in the NHL.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest criticism that he's been facing as of late is his play away from the puck, right? We've talked about that a lot. And I think that that is one of the easier things to improve on moving forward, that some of the skills that you've just talked about that he does have in spades is, you know, it's harder to teach those sorts of things. And so to know that he has them kind of locked down, I think bodes well for his potential to crack the Flyers lineup on a more permanent basis. But, you know, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Sure. And it's just so hard, especially with centers, right? Like, it's, I feel like with center, you kind of, especially in the NHL, you just have to play to be able to get better at it, you know, because, so definitely something we'll talk about. But then at 36, Igor Zamula was on the list, and he was previously ranked at 31st. And Wheeler said, I love this quote. He said, "It's no longer about how good he might be in the NHL. It's about how good he's going to be. It's all there. He's got the skating, the length, the defensive positioning, one of the better sticks outside the NHL, shiftiness that you typically don't see in a 6'3" defender, and a rare confidence bordering on cockiness that tells him he can make any play he wants to out there. Zamula can beat opponents by making or by playing smart and carefully, or he can beat them by walking them to the inside." I love this quote.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, like, I just, the fact that, again, we have to always say with Zamula, the fact that he was undrafted, so many teams had an opportunity to draft him and they passed, and this is just a gem for the Flyers. And, you know, we talk about him a ton on the podcast. Again, another defensive prospect that is right there that we would not be surprised is playing with the Flyers in a year or two.
It's really apparent that he has those goods that Scott Wheeler is talking about here when you watch him play, that he just stands out on the ice so much because of these skills that it's hard not to have your eyes focused on him when he's out there. And I think that that is exactly the kind of defenseman that the Flyers need. And I'm so excited for him to come up in the system over the next couple of years.
Me too. Rachel, speaking of goods, I have just fallen in love with rockauto.com, and it's because that I can get everything I need for my car or truck that's super affordable and super easy to get. I mean, as someone who, I wouldn't call myself like, you know, car savvy, but I'm learning, and Rock Auto is always there for me with the lowest prices. And They don't even require like a membership login or an account login. It's just quick, easy, get what I need, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, and rockauto.com has that familiarity that you need. You know, they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, and they have just built that reliability into their service. And I love it so much. You can get auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps and motor oil. And I even got some new carpet for my car. You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
And like I said, rockauto.com is always reliably low and the same for everybody. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, so rounding out the prospects in Scott's article was, at 40, Bobby Brink, who was previously ranked at 29th. You know, I think I'd probably say we both had a different assessment on Bobby Brink. I know that Wheeler was thinking that, you know, he had a quiet freshman year. But when we did our, like, you know, deep dive into Bobby Brink, he really did have a good season besides getting hurt. And, you know, even when he was at World Juniors, I think he played really well in the role that he was given. Not necessarily, like, I think if with a bigger role, we would see a lot more from Brink, which is, I think we've talked about it before, something that we're looking forward to this January. But with that said, Scott also said that Brink is just completely unbothered by trouble, and he always finds a way to adjust from whatever is thrown at him in real time. That ability, when coupled with unique finishing talent around the net for a smaller player, makes him one of his favorite prospects to watch and dissect. You know, at that point, like that part of the quote, I definitely agree with him. I think Bobby is just such a really fun and unique prospect to watch play.
Yeah, his vision is really extraordinary. Yeah. You just feel him anticipate the play as it's developing. And he just, when he doesn't have the puck, he knows exactly where to be. And when he does have the puck, he just has like this absolutely clear vision of how the play is going to unfold and what he needs to do to make it happen. And I just, honestly, he's just a joy to watch. And it's like one of the small things that we don't talk about a ton, but he just looks like he's having the best time when he's out there playing. And I think that's important in a lot of ways too, that it kind of builds confidence. Like if you can have fun in your first NHL development camp and just show that you're having a good time, I think that exudes confidence. And so I'm just looking for Bobby's game to just get even better. And I think that he's definitely going to make the cut in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, when Bobby was drafted, you know, he was kind of like our, I don't want to say consolation prize. He was like a smaller goal scoring winger. And I think there's just so much more to his game than the goal scoring. Don't get me wrong. That's obviously the highlight and what we all love. I think that he's so much more in the sense that, you know, he doesn't seem like he's a defensive liability. And he's always like, when he's on the ice, something good is going to happen. And I'm just thinking back to, you know, development camp when he was on a line with Radcliffe and Frost. He didn't look out of place. And I think that just shows the confidence that the coaching staff had for him to put him with skilled players and to be out against another skilled line. So, like you said, I'm really excited to see Brink. I wish he was someone we could just like slot into the lineup right now. But I thought it was really interesting that, you know, as the dust has kind of settled, all the bigger named free agents have signed and still some available, to look at the Flyers roster as if, you know, they started camp tomorrow or, you know, a game tomorrow, and just see where we think the holes are and what the Flyers might do about it. So I was looking online, I saw a bunch of different lineups. So I have one here. Feel free, Rachel, to, you know, make any adjustments on what you would want to see the starting lineup. But the consensus I saw was Giroux, Couturier, Konechny as the first line, Lindblom, Hayes, and Voracek as the third line, JVR, Patrick, Farabee, Frost slotting in for Patrick, depending on Patrick's health, and then the fourth line of Raffle, Lawton, and NAK. And then the defensive pairings of Provorov, Gostisbehere, Sanheim, Myers, Gustafsson, and Braun. So, with that, would you make any adjustments to this lineup, or does it, you know, as I said, it does it look like how you would want it?
Yeah, I would probably make a couple changes. Well, first off, I think it is somewhat interchangeable to have Voracek on that line with Giroux and Couturier and Konechny on the line with Lindblom and Hayes. I think, as you said, it is fine, but I can also see it going the other way, right? Mm-hmm. I think just based on history and chemistry, I think that's like one of the first things they'll do to try and like kickstart either one of those lines that may be struggling. And especially having Konechny and Lindblom on the same line appeals to me. So I think I would start out there. And then for the other forward lines, yeah, if Nolan Patrick is back, I think that what you presented makes a lot of sense. I'm totally fine with Scott Lawton at center, although I think he flourishes at wing a little bit more. I'm less inclined to put Raffle at center, which he can do, but I don't want them to do at all because I think he's better at the wing for sure. That being said, I think that it's not likely that Frost would be guaranteed that fourth center slot. I firmly believe that they're going to give Tanner Lozinski a look at that as well, that I think it would be a competition between Frost and Lozinski to maybe take that last center spot. But I also believe a third person will be in that mix. We just don't know who that is yet. Like, I really think they're going to sign like a veteran depth center at some point. And whether it's right before camp or in the next couple weeks, I don't know what the answer to that question is. But it just feels like the Flyers thing to do, to have that extra body in there and have, like I said, a veteran presence that's competition to the kids. I think that tends to work out better for everybody in the long run. I think it's part of the reason why they brought Chris Stewart into camp last year. And, you know, even though we kind of like got cranky about it, I think that in the long run, I can see the benefit of at least having had him there at camp. So I think that's kind of how things will play out on the forward side. I think on the blue line side of things, I would probably make the assumption that Myers will jump up to play with Provy. And then maybe Sanheim and Braun would get paired up. And then Gustafsson and Haig. And I think Ghost is the odd man out. You know, it's not necessarily what I want, but I think that that's more likely than not the way it would play out.
Yeah, I think for me the biggest question mark is at on defense. I think with the forwards, I agree with you. I think that what we said was probably what it is. And I think I just don't think that Frost would get a shot at 4C. I just don't see, unless the Flyers have changed their minds, they never really tried it as something that's like long term. So I don't think that he would maybe get that opportunity. I could see maybe a Scott Lawton, a Tanner Lozinski, and a Connor Butteman or something like that trying to get that role. But I agree with you that maybe a depth veteran might join that. You know, figuring out the Flyers lines as they are right now, it could drive you up a wall. But one thing that can help you bust through that wall is Bilko. And I love Bilko because it is a healthy replacement for an energy drink. Bilko is a healthy replacement for your energy drink. But the energy is not fake. It's lasting and natural. And it gives you 5 hours of energy without that same crash feeling. Plus, like I said, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it's not like a cup of coffee where you have to like keep reheating it because you let it get cold. BuiltGo is so easy that you can put it in your pocket, leave it at your desk, or put it in your purse or your backpack and have it throughout the day whenever you need that extra push.
And BuiltGo, it's from the same group that brought us Built Bar, which we talk about all the time and how delicious they are. So you know that with BuiltGo, the ingredients are going to be healthy, safe, and taste really good. They have three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint, all of which are delicious. BuiltGo combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's got B3, B6, B12, honey, and that kick of caffeine you need.
So visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. The place that I have the biggest concern, and I know that we've seen them find success together, is Provorov-Gossisbehere pairing. I've seen that a lot going around Twitter, and I'm just kind of confused because, you know, we've talked a lot about Gustafsson, and we've said how much he reminds us of Gossisbehere. And so, you know, with Matt Niskanen gone, pushing Gossisbehere up to the top pair after like him not even getting consistent time in the defensive rotation last season is just like a big jump to me. I don't know why that just seems unrealistic, but I mean, I know that they have found success together, and I'm not saying that they could never find it in the future. It's just, I don't know if I would want Gossisbehere with Provorov on the top line. As much as I really do like Shane Gossisbehere and I want to find a way for him to work in Philly, I don't know. That was a big concern for me. Also, Sanheim and Braun, like Braun being up on that top pair or the second pair just also doesn't seem ideal for me. So I don't know. I'm just so many questions that, and then so many pairings that make me feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's an interesting puzzle there. These pieces like just don't go together that well. I feel like I'm doing a Rubik's Cube and I'm gonna peel those stickers because I just can't figure it out. You know? I did read some additional stuff about Erik Gustafsson and and his joining the Flyers and like his interview about that, and he talked about he's actually practicing with Robert Haig over in Sweden. So that's a good thing, I think, in some ways, to maybe try and build some chemistry there if that's a combo that's possible. And then I know that Oscar Lindblom is going to join them intermittently, I guess. But so that's good that the Swedes are getting work done. But I think that it's possible that we figure out some chemistry here and some combinations end up making sense. But right now it's just hard to see it.
Yeah. It really is. And again, like, I mean, it should make me feel good that Gustafsson and Haig are practicing together. But again, I just don't think that Haig is the type of partner that you would want out with Gustafsson. But if they're on the third pair, you shelter them. I don't know. Definitely. Definitely so many questions.
It is a conundrum.
It is. You know, and I've said my concerns, which obviously is the defense, you know, Gossisbehere together with Provorov, Braun up in the lineup. Did you have any? I felt like I maybe took the mic on that one.
You know, I don't know that it's as strong as it could be. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just hard to... There's so many dominoes here with the RFA signings in terms of where's Myers going to end up, where and what's going on with Nolan Patrick. There's just so many pieces that change based on the answer to the Nolan Patrick question that it's just it's hard to say.
As we look at the roster and we have tons of questions, I just feel like, you know, it's inevitable that Gossisbehere is probably going to get moved, whether if that's just a move that happens because of you need space with the cap or you want to have him have a change of scenery. What do you think right now is the biggest need for the Flyers?
I mean, I think it's obviously who's the right person to play with Ivan Provorov on that top pairing. I just think that none of the other people on the Flyers D is the right person from what we know now. Mm-hmm. Could Phil Myers be that person? Sure. Do we know that? No, we do not. unless that they're willing to take that risk that he is the guy that can do it, I think that that's their number one need. And I just don't see them being able to get that guy without a trade here.
Yeah.
Whether it's signing a free agent that requires Goss Despair to be traded because you can't overdo it with defensemen, or some other signing that we're not thinking about right now. But I just think that is the absolute number one focus that the management should be looking at right now.
Yeah. You know, that's a big question. And I think that one of the strengths the Flyers had last season is that they didn't have a question mark for their top pairing. It was a solid top pairing. And then, you know, Sanheim and Myers grew into that solid second pairing. And so, yeah, I completely agree. I think that's the need. We've talked about it. We think that the Flyers need to trade for that player. Do you think they do it? Because a part of me thinks that it would be so classic Flyers for them not to trade for this.
I mean, my gut says no.
Yeah.
That they don't do it, just because, again, Chuck has been super clear that he's being conservative and he's not looking to make any crazy moves. And I know that they were involved in discussions on certain players in free agency and, you know, some potential trades that just didn't happen. I think partially because of salary cap hits mm-hmm. to those players or end term, for sure. It's just such a weird time with, you know, the flat cap and revenues being down. And so it sucks, because I feel like this upcoming season and the one after are potentially the window is going to be open for them mm-hmm. in the next couple of years. And the fact that I just feel like they can't go that extra step. Now, maybe they can at a trade deadline, and that's a completely different situation. I think that he would be willing to step up and make that move if it looks like it makes the most sense. But the problem is getting to that point.
Yeah, that's that exactly. All right, so rounding out the show with our Flyers fun thing, I wish we could say, like, here's this targeted defenseman we want, but right now they're all gone. They all went in free agency, so we'll have to keep our eyes out for any that could be trade potential. But today's Flyers fun thing is a quick little interview with Zade Wisdom, who sat down with Andrea. And he just talked about, like, his story and, like, the night of the draft and getting drafted by the Flyers and his family reaction. There's a part in there where you can just see there's video of him just hugging his mom and his mom crying. And it's just so thoughtful and so sweet. And, you know, if you haven't already fell in love with Zade Wisdom, like, let us keep giving you reasons why. This video is definitely that. It is so good. And honestly, I know I'm biased at this point, but it was one of my favorite videos from the draft.
I love all of this.
Hopefully we'll talk about Tyson's next. So with that, we want to thank you so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again on Friday with our Gritty Thing of the Week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. So get us in your questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
Now tune into the most recent episode of Locked On NHL.